Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. I am your host, Mark Ellis, joined, as always, by my trusty cohort, the Wednesday to my Pugsley, Jacqueline Coley. How are we on this fine Halloween into Thanksgiving holiday transitioning day?
I think this is a great time. This is where fall really kicks in. This is my favorite time. I know a lot of people love Halloween and I like Halloween. It's fine, but I'm a Thanksgiving girl. An entire day built around food.
And football.
But mostly food. I'm sorry. The football is there and I love football as well. But like,
yeah, now we get three.
I would still enjoy the day even if the football wasn't there. But if you remove the food, I would die.
No, Thanksgiving, I would say probably up there. It's been my favorite holiday, different parts of my life. And I love that time of the year most. If I could just take that like September weather and put it into November, because it's getting a little chilly for old Mark Ellis. The skin's starting to chap a little bit. Let's bring in our special guest here. You know her as Third of the World Girls, Dorina Arianno. You know her, you love her, returning favorite here on the show. Dorina, your favorite time of year is?
Halloween.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jacqueline.
I like Halloween. I'm just not, when people say, I love Halloween, it's a different gear than me. And I don't play with that same gear. So I have to be very clear. I am like a casual on Halloween.
Right.
This is a professional.
Correct. I am a professional. And I also understand the appeal of the food and the football day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is also a fantastic day. I like it much more than Christmas. But Halloween is, you know, I celebrate it for 2 months, about September, October, because if Christmas gets 2 months, why doesn't Halloween, right? Mm. So the only issue now is that this is when the seasonal depression starts.
Oh.
What is
vitamin
that,
D.
Yes.
Is that a thing with you or is that a thing with just the populace in general? Is there
populace.
Some sort of planet that's spinning the wrong way this time of year that causes this?
There's always There's always a spinet. There's always a planet spinning the wrong way. But it's sunny all the time except for soon, the winter time. That makes me sad. I don't like, are we changing the time again? I don't want to do that.
I don't know when we roll the clocks back to and fro, but I know that the clocks are always right twice a day, except maybe if you're in the Addams Family residence, because I don't know if those clocks ever work on time, or maybe those are the only clocks that actually are really telling the time the way it should be, because we know the Addamses, we've loved them since some folks from as far back as the sitcom in the 60s. And then you had these two movies that dropped in the early 90s. You had Addams Family 91, Addams Family Values in 1993, which is the topic of our conversation today. Shout out to our crew over at RottenTomatoes.com. You can currently find the best 60 Thanksgiving movies over there. Charlie Chaplin and The Gold Rush is number one at 100% well-deserved. Addams Family Values is number 18 on this list, sporting a 75% certified fresh score, 63% with the audience, which is still fresh, but a little, I think I have a feeling why it's a little lower for some audience members. The OG Addams Family from 1991, the OG movie, I should say, is 67% fresh with a 66% audience score. So we have these movies that we love for Halloween. We have Christmas movies. And this one is, for many reasons, I think considered rightfully so, a Thanksgiving film, maybe the best Thanksgiving movie of them all. Before we find out what our take on Addams Family Values is some 30 years after its release, and I saw this in theaters. Oh, my God, what's happening to me? Let's go to you first, Darina, our special esteemed guest. I feel like a movie and a guest have never been more perfectly paired on this show than Adam's Family Values and Darina being our special guest. Is Rotten Tomatoes wrong about Adam's Family Values?
This is a much too low score. This is too low. This is, if you can, if some of the sequels and prequels of the Star Wars franchise are at 90s or 80s, it is much too low. This movie is better than anything that those people made. Just saying.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, no, this is a, and we all love the first one here.
Yes.
We're all huge fans of the first one.
Absolutely.
But the second one to me is even better. It is a masterpiece of a movie. It's got not only probably the greatest casting ever. You got a Boricua Gomez with the great Raul Julia being his last movie. You got obviously the great Angelica Houston, Christina Ricci. And on top of that, it's visually stunning and one of the greatest villains of all time with the great Joan Cusack as Debbie Jelinski. Like, this is a perfect, almost perfect movie. Like, maybe you could give it like a 90 something percent. Maybe, but I don't really see any flaws in it. I think Rotten Tomatoes is wrong because it's too low. And the audience score, I don't think they understood it for it being 60 something.
I think that there is some panic going on with some parents. Is maybe what I would say is why the audience score is as low as it is, because I agree with you. I think this movie, it'd be a raging debate in my household, which is pretty much just me and the dog barking at each other as to whether the first one or the second one is the better film.
Okay.
The first Addams or the second, because I could watch these as one long movie. Like, they're that good and everybody comes to play in both. There's nobody who was great in the first one who's mailed it in the second one. I love, love, love both of these movies, and they present a sense of humor that I think is sorely lacking in cinema that we've gotten today. Like, there's been great comedies that come up every so often, but my God, these things are just, every joke hits in these films so hard. Jacqueline Coley, are you in agreement with this love fest, or is Rotten Tomatoes maybe a little wrong on the other side for you?
It's you know what?
Did we just win you over already before the movie talk segment began?
I just think the audience score is more right.
Okay.
I think the audience score is right. I don't think that the film's issues are specifically related to what was seen on screen. I think this is a case of the same reason why Skyfall, if you look at that movie, it has a much lower score than the other ones. It's because they made James Bond fallible. It's because people don't want to see James Bond get hurt. They only want to see James Bond be the toughest dude on the block. It's wish fulfillment. You don't want to see the Addams Family get too close to normal. The closer they get to normal, and this was an instance where it's like, before it was the weird Addams Family where normal was just sort of peeking on the outside, trying to invade them. Now you have the different situation of like, no, we have taken the weird and put it in the normal, and it just doesn't sit well to me. You know what I mean? Like I enjoyed the place that they took these characters, but in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't think we should be here.
Huh.
Like, we went wrong to be here. And don't get me wrong, I know why we went wrong, because they wanted to set up what they set up, which was amazing. But it's like, we sacrificed, I think, a lot, especially with the other characters. Like, Gomez and
Morticia
spend most of the time in that motel doing absolutely nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like they kind of condensed down their story in a lot of ways.
What are you talking about?
Not doing nothing. Not doing nothing.
What are you talking about? Like, they're you just called out the most romantic, beautiful fictional couple.
Maybe the greatest couple of all time.
That has the sexiest consensual BDSM sex. They are not doing nothing in that motel.
No,
jacket.
You're right. You're very true in that respect. I wanted to be very, like, the minute it came out of my mouth, I was like, well, not nothing. But do you know what I mean? Like, when we talk about the plots and the moments that work on this movie, it's a Wednesday Addams movie and a Joan Cusack movie and an Uncle Fester movie. And all of those things make it absolutely incredible. They're the favorites and some of the best parts of the first movie. So I get why we're leaning in. That being said, I'm like, could we have found another way?
Well, you have the privilege. And by the way, you should know that maybe of everybody here on the show today, the biggest lover of Addams Family Values in the room might be producer Brian. Because Darina said it's one of her favorite movies of all time. Brian immediately jumped in.
Yeah.
Unprovoked.
He doesn't say a lot, folks.
Wedged into the conversation.
But he had to make his presence known about this one.
He loves this movie, which Jacqueline is now going to give us the synopsis of Adam's Family Values.
I really do feel bad because I feel if I get one word wrong, she's going to come across this sure microphone and
turn it over
stab
to Dorina
me.
As
no,
well.
I got it. But I'm just letting you know. Like,
I would never stab you, Jacqueline.
It's okay.
I'd secretly poison you. I'm kidding.
I might deserve it. So we find ourselves back with the Adam's Family. As Morticia let us know in the previous one, we're going to be having a new addition, obviously, to the family, and he needs a nanny. We have the youngest Adam's Family needs a nanny, and so they hire the very beautiful, the very bright, and the slightly weird Joan Cusack, who plays Debbie Jelinski, and she immediately develops a love affair with Uncle Fester, and we find out later that is because Debbie is a severely deranged serial killer who marries a wealthy, lonely man so that she can steal their inheritances. And that's essentially what she ends up doing to the Adams family. First, she kicks out his family, gets all the funds under Uncle Fester, tries to doll him up into this weird version of himself with a very bad wig.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the kids are shipped off to a summer camp full of the worst versions of Karens and Chads that you have ever seen. And meanwhile, Morticia and the rest of the crew, including Granny, Thing, and Lurch and everyone else, is stuck in a motel, which is the only place that they can afford in their very stunted financial circumstances.
No, that's the first one.
Once they get kicked out of the manor, the girls are on at the Thanksgiving, sort of like they're at the summer camp, and they put on a Thanksgiving play where Wednesday falls in love, and Pugsley and them are literally just the worst versions. They don't smile. The Karen and the Chad who run it, played by the great Christine Baranski and Peter McNichols, who you recognize from Ghostbusters. Anyway, they're not having it. They basically set the entire camp on fire. This is around the time that Debbie is trying to enact her final plan. But meanwhile, everybody gathers together. They stop Debbie. They bring back everyone. And Fester, of course, reconciles with his brother. And they all find out that it's all good because Debbie obviously twisted them against it. And they all live happily ever after.
Yeah, they do.
Sorry.
Everybody does.
The one thing I got wrong, you know what it was? We were thinking about the damn motel before.
Yeah,
we were talking about the BDSM sex.
It's confusing because there's similar plot lines.
There's similar
involved.
Plot lines. Yes. But no, they don't get sent over to the motel room in this one. Honestly, I just wanted to think about their BDSM sex. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Addams Family.
Well, yeah, I mean,
values.
You have the first movie where it's kind of like just trying to welcome Fester back into the family.
Yes.
Right.
And then here it's Fester, you know, against his own will, sort of locking them out. And then
yes.
So there's a lot of festering going on.
There's a lot of festering.
The first one and in Addams Family Values, which now we're going to turn it over to our buddy Tim Ryan, who's our expert review curation manager here at Rotten Tomatoes. He's going to tell us what critics were saying at the time of this film's release, when a 12-year-old Mark Ellis might have gone with a bunch of his friends to see this very film. 2 minutes with Tim.
2 minutes with Tim.
It's not a hard and fast rule by any means, but the general trajectory of most franchises is as follows. The first entry is a critical and commercial hit, and the sequels clean up at the box office while receiving a more muted response from the critics. Obviously, there are exceptions, and one of the more perplexing is the case of the Addams Family films. The Addams Family from 1991 was a box office smash, cracking the top 10 in a year that included the likes of Terminator 2, Home Alone, and Silence of the Lambs. The sequel, Addams Family Values, found favor with the critics, who enjoyed its sly satire of contemporary politics and the performances, particularly from Angelica Houston, Raul Julia, and especially Christina Ricci. But while it's become a cult favorite in the ensuing years, its reputation greater than the original, Addams Family Values barely cracked the top 30 at the box office in 1993, taking in half of what the original made. Addams Family Values is certified fresh at 75% on the tomato meter with 114 reviews, and it has a 63% audience score. And just for comparison, the Addams Family from 1991 is fresh at 67%. So what did the critics have to say? In a fresh review, Dan Jyer of the Chicago Daily Herald wrote, "As she was in the first Addams Family film, Ricci's Wednesday is the glowing ember of the cast, a deadpan, dead-on, deadly deliverer of devilishly devastating dialogue." However, in a rotten review, Gary Thompson of the Philadelphia Daily News wrote, "Though this sequel probably has more creative energy than its predecessor, the constant stream of one-liners and sight gags is very much hit or miss." The Rotten Tomatoes critics' consensus reads, "New, well-developed characters add dimension to this batty satire, creating a comedy much more substantial than the original." So that's Adam's Family Values. Let's kick it back to Jacqueline and Mark, two people who gladly feast on those who would subdue them.
That was beautiful.
I need a little bit more sauce on that line, read Tim, but I appreciate it. I'm just saying, you got to bring the goods for that one. Let's get into this one, because I have a feeling I'm going to feel like a little bit like you were last week, Mark, on this one. I mean, I'm just saying.
Hit the music. I can't help but think that one of the reasons why this one didn't have the box office returns of the first one, even though it had most of the critical acclaim, is that Thanksgiving is a time for food and football, but also big time movies, family kind of movies come out. This movie was released November 19th, 1993, and it was number one at the box office. The next week, Mrs. Doubtfire showed up.
Hello.
And woo-woo, her way to, I mean, just demolishing everything else in her path. So, Darina, you and I were about the same age, maybe a few weeks difference. Mm-hmm. Did we see this movie in the theater like I did?
Oh, yes. Yes. I was about, this was 93, correct? Mm-hmm. I was about 11 years old, so still in Mexico, and saw it in the Mexicali Theater, subtitles. And I was very excited because I was always a huge fan of the first one. I had no idea I was going to love this one even more. And I remember, because there's a huge difference between, one of the cultural differences between Mexicans and American families is that there's a reason why this particular movie would not be as popular today and would not be sold as a family film, right? Because of the too adult, sexy humor, right? Mm. So that's not something that happens in Mexico, right? Like for us, we're like, kids are aware that sex exists, right?
Right,
right. Here they try to shield it from you, right? So we
cleverly, basically it's just not up front. Like they put it in there, but it's only the adults get it.
Correct. Yes. And so, so that was any of the dark humor was great. Like we loved all of it, right? Like it was a riot. The entire theater was laughing and clapping. Like it was
really?
Very well received when I saw it. I was very happy with it. I was obsessed with it. I told my mom this is my favorite Thanksgiving movie. No offense to the great Steve Martin and John Candy, obviously, because that's the other very
Planes, Trains, Automobiles, pretty good Thanksgiving movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Did either of y'all, because I knew what the Addams Family was from seeing it on TV constantly. Was that in everybody's house or just mine? The original sitcom.
The black and white. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That was a Nick at Nighter somewhere in there.
But we all knew it. We all knew the characters. So like walking into the first one, because I saw both of these movies in the theater when I was a kid. And seeing this one in Williamsburg, Virginia, again, you walked out of the theater just marveling at how many jokes, how fast. And I really left thinking that Joan Cusack was such a surprising and awesome and hilarious and nefarious villain. Like, she really shows up and you don't know what to make of her initially. And quickly you realize she is the antagonist in this movie. And I just thought she just knocked it out of the stadium. So
completely. The best scene, actually my favorite scene in the movie, is when she blows up or thinks she blows up Fester in the house.
Yeah.
And she's outside in her car and she starts practicing how she's going to cry in front of the cops, right?
Yeah.
And she starts doing her little, and then she goes, like that evil laughter transition. It's incredible. Like not a lot of actors can do that. She's fantastic.
The scene before where she tries to electrocute Fester in the bathtub and then we see the classic Fester with the light bulb.
Yeah.
Like it's just so much great is in this movie. Jacqueline, did you see it in the theater or were you a late arrival to Addams Family Values?
I'm pretty sure I saw Addams Family in the Dollar Theater at the Sunrise Mall. Shout out to Corpus Christi. I think this was a TNT special for me.
Okay.
I think this one was definitely on TV. It was definitely on TNT because I want to be clear. I was an only child. So like before I was of driving age, any movies I wanted to see, I had to be taken to. You know what I mean? And I was definitely not taken to the mall until I was in my like. But once I was able to get to the mall on my own, yeah, I was there all the time.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I loved what this movie did because the first one sets up Gomez and Morticia so well. And like you said, Dorina, this was the last film that I guess Raul Julia got to see released because he did. Street Fighter didn't come out till after he had already passed away. And he died in 1994. So, you know, mere months after this movie came out. But because that first one set such a great foundation for who the matriarch and the patriarch are, I think that they also, like the filmmakers, Barry Sonnenfeld and company, you go back and you watch that first one and you say, we really got some gold with these kids.
Yeah.
With Pugsley and particularly Wednesday, like this Christina Ricci is not just a good like kid act. This is a star. And so I think they took that and ran with it for Addams Family Values. And I love that she got more to do. Right. And boy, did she step up and knock it out of the park.
Totally. Yeah. And especially because I think the reason I love you just said it, the first one was more of a focus on the adult relationship, right? Mm-hmm. The second one, they give him a little baby. They give him a little pubert, right?
Little mm-hmm. pubert.
Fantastic name.
And the mustache.
Yeah. little mustache. Mustache.
Yeah. But it makes sense to focus on the kids this time because the great thing about these movies to me is that, to me, the Addams Family are the antithesis of the nuclear American family with mm-hmm. with the family values, right?
Yeah.
The suburban stereotype of what a family should be, right? And so I love, that's why I think Morticia and Gomez are so amazing together and show you what a healthy, loving relationship is. And with Wednesday, you get, you know, what a teenage girl is going through at that time and how she feels like an outcast as a Jacqueline beautifully said, especially amongst Karens and Chads.
Dude, seriously. I mean, entire camp of them.
Yeah. And so I just love the fact that, you know, like there's a great line where the kid that Wednesday's hanging out with, I think his name is Joel, the little Jewish kid.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, he asks her, what have you met the right man who worshipped you, adored you, blah, 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 who was your devoted slave? What would you do? And she goes, I'd pity him.
I mean, but look at the dynamic between Morticia and Gomez. Like, as much as they become loving, you would imagine that was probably the beginning of their courtship. He's been a simp since the beginning, and she's basically like, maybe. You know what I mean? Like,
the men seem to be under the spell of women, which is not just central to the Addams Family.
No.
I'd say that's whether most dudes want to admit it or not.
But it's not like usual sitcoms, for example.
No.
Right? Like the sitcoms you're used to, like Married with Children or things like that. Usually the guy is always crapping on the wife.
I would say Married with Children, I'm going more traditional, like, you know, more family sitcoms.
Like Ozzie Harriet type stuff.
I would look at, this is like According to Jim, you know, because Jim is just
King
a moron.
Oh, King of Creeves,
And that kind of stuff. Like King of Queens, things like that.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Honestly, like just with all the relationships I've had with the fair sex, it's like, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
It's like, you just show up and like, hey, how can I do, you know,
boyfriend
today? How can I earn enough points for my reward this evening?
I just
want to be a good boyfriend so I can go drinking with the boys on night seven.
Oh,
or
is that what your reward is? No, I think every guy starts the day of like, how nice do I have to be to her so I can continue to be laid by the end of this evening?
Also sensible. And it seems to be something that Morticia and Gomez celebrate regularly. And the relationship, like, it's so tough to narrow down, like, who's your favorite member of this household, you know? But I was just, on this rewatch, I was so struck by how great Christopher Lloyd is and just disappearing into the role of Fester. He completely, you know it's Christopher Lloyd, but every look, every gesture, every line is so well crafted, and it starts right at the beginning of the movie when he's just howling at the moon. I mean, this thing sets you up for exactly what it is before the credits roll. We see Fester in despair, we see the birth of Pubert, and then we're just dun 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 dun. We're right into it.
I also think it was really interesting is everybody in here is giving performance art. Everybody's in drag. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a movie. Like, I don't want to, like, speculate on Barry Sonnenfeld's sexuality or the sexuality of the writer, production designer, anyone. But this is just a movie that feels like it was, like, made by, like, sassy, campy gays and theater kids. Like, I'm sorry. You're getting, like, all these, like, low-key theater idols like Christine Baranski, like Joan Cusack, like Tony Shalhoub, David Hyde Pierce, Nathan freaking Lane.
Totally.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. there are some gays with, like, yes, Fabulous Darling with the lights and the hair. We're gonna, like, I feel it in the DNA of this movie too much to where it's like, if you don't get that aspect of it, that's the part that I love the most.
Right.
But that's the thing that, like, starks so hardly against the, like, staunch, like J. Crew Land's End, like, ugh, waspy Connecticut BS. Like, every time I think about it, I'm just like, why are you here?
When you line up Pugsley and Wednesday at the summer camp.
Yeah.
At good old Camp Chippewa.
Camp Chippewa, right next to all those other kids and the way they look, it's, you can't help but pull for the weird kids.
For the fish, and I'd
lock Joel in there too, played by David Krumholz, where it's like, yeah, I love that they found another outcast. I thought that was really important to this movie, where it's not just us and our little family against the world. There are other people like the Adamses out, maybe not to that extreme as far as their living quarters,
right,
but there's people who have a different way that they look at society, and the fact that the Adams found somebody not in their family, I think, was really special and a linchpin of this movie.
Totally. And I think that's honestly the biggest reason why I like this movie is because it's showing this family that, like you said, goes into this camp, these kids that are complete outcasts for the wrong reasons, right? Mm. It's not just because they're weirdos. The Addams Family are supposed to be weirdos that people are like, oh, they wear black and they like spiders and, like, you know, they're just, I don't get it. They're probably satanic, you know, whatever some Karen would say, right?
Facts.
No offense to cool Karens. But when they're in the camp, you know, all of these people are wealthy, you know, weird people that don't like anybody that's not like them.
Yeah.
Right?
Right,
and they're actually discriminatory against anybody that's not like them.
It's white supremacy camp. Like,
correct.
We can just go ahead and, like, call it out for what it is.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
But the thing I think is so interesting about it is the tribes that you find as you sort of adopt them. And, like, look, David Krumholz, who plays Joel, the little Jewish kid who's, like, worshiping her, part of the Indian crew, as it were. That kid very much exemplifies that. Because look at him by the end of the movie. He is dapper down with his little, like, painted on mustache, you know? Like, he is in it. He is in it by the end. And I think that's the, I don't know. I have a different fantasy of where those two end up in 20 years.
Oh,
I just feel like they're living out Morticia and Gomez. Like, literally, what does Wednesday become when she matures past the schoolgirl outfit?
I think she ends up actually dating a lot of people, but never getting married and just going off on her own.
Lord.
And that's the dream I see for her. But
fair.
But I mean, the best part is the reason why it's the best Thanksgiving movie is just going back to that. It's and as Jacqueline said, the musical aspect of it, of seeing Pugsley in that giant turkey suit and being like, eat me, right? Like, that's a great scene. But obviously, that's the best part of the movie is Wednesday's famous speech, right?
Yes.
We decided to scalp you for all these reasons. And we decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground, right? Like, where she talks about specifically, she literally calls out people like, you know, she's dressed as a Native American and she's saying, years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes and reservations, your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. Like, all of that speech is an incredible speech.
Yeah.
That's what I post for Thanksgiving every year because people are like, oh, it's like, you know, a moment to be thankful. I'm like, that's great. But here's what really happened.
Fair.
And I think that's what makes it a great movie.
I definitely don't disagree with you on that. That's why I like to remove all of the things about Thanksgiving besides the meal from it. It's just about my food.
Yeah, I think that in our modern society, you have a weird reconciliation with a lot of our holidays, with the origin story of them anyway, or, you know, and with this, I feel like somebody should be assigned at every Thanksgiving table to deliver the Wednesday Addams speech. Okay, let's eat. You know?
It's like a land acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Like, we should definitely have this before we sit down to do this.
But, you know, you think about the relationship between Wednesday and Joel, which is such a big part of this movie, but it's also, he's somebody who's clearly smitten and under the spell, I guess you could say, like, he really has feelings for this girl. And then you have Fester and Debbie, Because Debbie shows up, and we all know she's up to something pretty soon after she arrives. But how is Fester supposed to, like, I feel so bad for him because he's just having his Joel moment. And we want Joel and Wednesday to stay together because we know Wednesday is, like, a genuine person. Mm. But, we're rooting for Fester to get something. But, oh, no, now Debbie shows up, and it's almost like you see how easy it is. And it's like, no, it's not supposed to be that easy to fall in love, to meet your soulmate. It's supposed to be hard, like what Wednesday is putting Joel through. It should not be so easy that the nanny shows up and the next day she's just thrown herself at you.
She's in love. Also, I might add, I still think it's so funny, like the concept of Thanksgiving as it's so illustrated in this movie. The reason why they needed a Thanksgiving is because these white people came over the water completely ill-prepared. Like, they got here and they were like, you need to bathe and build things. Like, let's give you some food, crazy people, because clearly you do not understand that, like, you should die for not taking care of yourself. That's the comedy of all of this. But again, which ones got called savages?
Very fair. Yeah, when you look at the movie itself and, like, and its release and its reception, I feel like everything is pretty properly rated. I just think that nobody can really tell, especially with a comedy. When it's released, it's really funny in the moment, and then you go back and you revisit it. You know, you watch something like Porky's 10, 20 years later, and you're like, maybe that doesn't all hold up. Mm. Everything about Addams Family, there wasn't anything that didn't work as well as it did in 93. Some of it even works better today than it did back in 93. So there's no way to know that you're making a comedy that's going to stand the test of time. But I feel like really both of these movies certainly check that box.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys heard that apparently, so Paul Rudnick's the writer, and he took the name for the film's title, Family Values, specifically from a Dan Quayle speech. Yeah. Right. And Dan Quayle was obviously focused on what I was talking about earlier.
I mean, he was just using the Southern strategy to win a Republican nomination. But yeah, correct. Basically this
idea.
Well,
he was talking about the L.A. riots.
Yeah,
and
LA
how
riots.
Like, exactly. We need to get back to family values,
yes,
which is not really equating anything going on with the L.A. riots. Like,
or maybe, you know, the fact that cops keep beating black people. But
right.
I'm sure the family is going to help with that systemic issue. It's like now when you look at like the game that they played, because again, that's the comedy of like now is like the same game is being played. They just change the players.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you can do something that is so has a political message to it that was so well veiled by the Addams Family, where we're receiving all this stuff. Even if we just think we're going to see this kooky, campy family live out a day in their life.
It's saying the idea of there's different types of families, so they can definitely do it. I was going to ask you this though about it, because as much as it is your favorite movie, what of the criticisms that you've heard of it? Because I'm sure when the one that I have is that it's so funny. Gene Siskel said in his review that Tim has here that
I did not understand Siskel's criticism.
This is the thing. The problem with the originals, we spend too much time in the mansion and not enough time outside mixing with regular folk. I get what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Their idea is that the people at the camp are not regular folk. Mm-hmm. And then any of the stuff with Fester and Debbie is obviously not with regular folk. They actually don't mingle with the general populace. It's very just specific pockets in various areas. But I didn't understand his review about this one either. But I'm curious, what are the criticisms that you've sort of heard about it when people dislike it?
Well, Jacqueline, you're the first person that I know.
Shut up! No, this is not even the case.
I think some of it.
Good joke, though. Seriously,
I think some of it is some of the stuff you mentioned that it got a little too campy. Mm. But to me, it's just it is what you were saying also earlier. It's meant to be more theatrical to me. I mean, there's a whole ass scene with Morticia and Gomez dancing in the middle of a restaurant.
Yeah.
Right. And it's ridiculous, but it's so well shot that to me, that is a great filmmaking aspect. Right. That I think a lot of people just sometimes don't appreciate because they're focused more on the story. And so I don't, in the first one, as you said, there's that great scene with the younger version of Amanda, the little girl who plays Amanda, who later plays Harmony on Buffy, for those Buffy fans later.
Okay.
Isn't she also the girl that plays the villain on Troop Beverly Hills? I think she is.
I believe so. Yeah, she's good at those roles. And there's a famous Girl Scout cookie line, right, in the original movie where Wednesday says, are the cookies made of real Girl Scouts, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that to me is a perfect joke and example of what the family is. And I feel like that went to like the 10th degree in the sequel.
Yeah.
And so people thought it was too much. Right. But to me, the Addams Family finally became the Addams Family. The first one was like an introduction, kind of like how people hate Man of Steel. But I like it because that's Clark Kent becoming Superman. He's not Superman yet.
You need
that's
to meet them before they're their full form.
Correct.
Before they're their
but this is where it's the ultimate form.
Addams Family.
That's how I see it. Yes.
The Dragon Ball Z. This is their final form. Now their power's over 9,000 kind of thing.
Yeah.
With this. And so I can see where it might be like a little overwhelming for folks. But the thing about this movie, too, is that it loses so much momentum if it's not as funny as it is. It is so well written.
Right.
The jokes are so tight. They're so well delivered. You get like the law of three, like ba-doom, ba-doom, boom. And then you know the punch is coming. Like I there's so many great lines that I forgot existed. There's the scene where Fester's just trying to figure out how to get through to Debbie, and he's talking. He's in bed, and like Gomez is like tucking his brother in, and Gomez says, "Oh, Fester, I just hope one day you'll know the beauty of having a child and paying someone else to raise them." Like it's just such a good lampooning
it's
of
so
everything
honest.
Modern society is.
Correct. It's such a great satire of what society was then, and like you said, and even more so now. Right. Yeah. Like, I think it's such a good critique of the fakeness of people trying to, you know, have these social constructs, especially around what's family supposed to be, and being like, actually, that's not how you are. Stop faking it. Everybody's messed up. Everybody's weird. So stop judging other people. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the essence of this. But also, I mean, how can you, again, not love a movie where Joan Cusack is this amazing villain? I don't understand the critique because she's so freaking amazing.
She's so amazing. Yeah. You can't help but, like, obviously when you see her, fall in love with her because she's just this beautiful, you know, she's going to show up and be the nanny. And then as soon as the turn happens, you sympathize. You don't want Uncle Fester to fall for it. But, I mean, you're also happy just because
like
it's so funny.
Let when Fester get a little bit of play, man.
Totally.
He's wearing the wig and, like, it's just, he's so...
The wig was so tragic.
Perfect.
The wig was so tragic. That was a struggle wig before there were struggle wigs. Also, let me just go ahead and say, what I think I figured it out. Barry Sonnenfeld, he's making a John Waters movie without being John Waters.
That's such a good point.
Like, that's what this is. Like, I feel like they said, we can't hire John Waters to do this because there's too much money involved. We got an Oscar winner, you know, and Angelica Houston. We've got Oscar nominees and Raul Julia. We've got a lot of big people that we're bringing into this. We need somebody who can manage kids and animals and CGI and a whole bunch of moving parts. So, like, let's get the guy that did Misery. Let's get the guy that did, you know, he's been behind the camera on some big movies.
Right.
He knows how to deliver for this. But they said, but we want you to make a John Waters movie because it is that campy. It is that weird. It's very Hairspray. This is Hairspray with different hair.
It's goth hairspray.
Goth hairspray. Exactly.
I've never thought of that, Jacqueline. It's a very good point. Does that make you like it more?
I still like it. I just very much see its flaws. Like it's just, again, it's, I don't want to be one of these people that gets mad for the movie that you got because I enjoyed the movie that we got. But the reason why I didn't enjoy it was because of the choice. Like, they made choices that you can clearly tell were based on focus groups and marketing and who was the most popular character at the time, because Fester and Wednesday were the most popular characters. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that, like, the best part of the Addams Family, especially the first one, is it felt like an ensemble. It felt like everybody got a moment to shine. Even Pugsley, like, you know, they all had it. And this one is very much not that. There's definitely...
Like the first one, they're together all the time as a family. And this one, they're... Each character is doing its own thing.
When they're not together, they're doing things where they both get to have big moments. Like Pugsley and Wednesday playing together, it was them playing together. Right. It wasn't necessarily the singular Wednesday off with her romantic lead and Pugsley's just there.
Yeah, Pugsley's much more like the background dancer here in this one than he was in the first one. But everybody, when they do get a chance to shine, they still do. Like Carol Kane.
Yes.
Thing, the effects on Thing still hold up amazing.
Thing,
incredible.
Oh, that was the other
incredible.
Thing. Thing got a lot more to do, obviously.
The little hand,
in this
cousin
one, he was very much the only one keeping Fester in together. But even like Lurch had way more to do in the first one. Again, nothing against everything. Right. I like the ensemble. I think some choices were made. Great choices. Did I enjoy playing in the land of Wednesday lighting up Wasp? Yes. Would I have liked to seen every character get some more stuff like that? What? Much more.
All right, so here's what I intimated during the opening, Dorina, and I want you to help us out here because, again, 75% certified fresh, especially for a comedy sequel, that's incredible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
63% with the audience score. Why do you think the audience not quite as high on this? Because everybody, like, I talked to just in my real life seems to think this is the better of the two.
That's because you have cool friends, Mark.
Like you. Any theories on the audience is a little cooler on this movie than the certified fresh tomato meter?
I think family audiences got a little uncomfortable by being shown the flaws of the way they live. And people don't like being made. It's like, I came to the theater to have fun and to laugh. And I don't want
to
think about
freaks.
Exactly.
To laugh at freaks. They didn't like it when the freaks really started to fight back.
Yeah. I think specifically, it's the fact that the freaks, two of the young freaks, are trying to kill the baby throughout this movie. But it is hilarious.
It is so
very
funny.
Very dark humor. Yeah. But the way that Pubert just survives with, like, just happens to be falling at the exact moment that Gomez opens a window and wants to see if it's raining and he catches his kid.
Yes.
Lurch thing. All stepping up knowing that Wednesday and Pugsley are doing everything they can to end this kid's life. But it just plays so funny. And I don't think you get away with that in the first movie because you do have to fully set up this world.
Right.
And
yeah.
how, not just like they're creepy and they're kooky, but also there is a unique family bond that they all, there is a love there that they all have. And there's this mystical ability that they all have just to be in the right place at the right time to where you can have a lot of knife play, but nobody's really going to get hurt.
Yeah. Correct.
And there is Shakira.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, and I love that scene where Pubert is bouncing off and ends up on the window of the airplane as the Karens are leaving.
And he laughs. That kid's laugh is so infectious. Like, I don't know how they managed to get those filmed the way that they did, but that was, like, literally one of my favorite parts was every time that kid was like, ah-ha!
Like, he's just so happy.
I'm sure it was twins. That's definitely not one baby because they need the baby to work longer. So I bet it was twins.
You can see so much of Barry Sonnenfeld and his greatness in this. But when you watch him, he directed Men in Black, too.
Yes.
So when you watch Men in Black, you really see he's still some of the best moments of Men in Black would be right at home in an Addams Family movie.
Yes.
You know, like watching Vincent D'Onofrio after he gets inhabited by this alien and just demanding sugar water, that feels like somebody that just shows up to the Adams' mansion and gets invited in.
But if you look at the between the two, and it should be, because look at the subject matter, we're talking about aliens and a government agency. As much as the camp of that movie is dialed down due to the fact that it's basically X-Files with comedy, it's still hella camp.
Sure.
It's still like very, very Zed cute. And just like, you know, the way that they style themselves a little bit in
Linda
that.
Linda Fiorentino as the weird mortician, like that she would be a friend of Morticia or Wednesday, whoever.
I think you really nailed it. He is a Hollywood approved John Waters, Barry Sonnenfeld. He really is. Yeah. I do want to give a last shout out again just to Morticia and Gomez because Raul Julia and Angelica Houston. I mean, the entire cast is so great, but I don't know how you find new actors to play those roles with that chemistry that those two had. It is, I mean, I've never seen that on screen. I haven't seen it replicated since. It is just incredible. And I miss that. Like, we're never going to see that again.
If they were a real couple, then I would say, okay, now because, you know, people, they love using that phrase. Like, I'm ready to meet my person.
Mm.
Like, there's one person on earth for it. I look at them and I'm like, yeah, that there might be something to that logic when you see how well they interact. Now, look, I think that Oscar Isaac and I believe Charlize Theron did the voices for the 2019 animated Addams Family, which I also thought was great.
And I haven't seen that one.
That is rotten on the tomato meter. It's like in the 40s somewhere.
People hated it.
I guess it's because it's not what we got from the early 90s, although I thought a lot of that same humor kind of was showcased. Are we fans of the Netflix series Wednesday? Do we get to check that out?
I've only watched one episode of that.
And did you Mark Ellis it? And what I say Mark Ellis is like, you didn't really hate it. You just stopped watching it.
Yeah, that's basically it. I think I could finish it. What happened for me is I hate when this happens. When I'm watching something and then I learn something bad about the production of it that makes me like, I have to forget that I know certain things about this one before I go back to watch it. Because I was in the middle of watching it. It's like, I don't feel good watching this.
You know
what I mean?
Too much.
I know too much, yeah.
How do we like the portrayal of that of your character Wednesday?
I thought she was fantastic. As somebody that obviously worships Christina Ricci, not just as Wednesday Adams, but all the way as to Misty Adams and, you know, or Misty Adams, Misty and Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
I thought
she's great as Misty.
She's so great. But Jenna Ortega did a great job. I think she, as our, you know, Brian was saying earlier, she carries the show.
Yeah.
I think that show is not the show it is without her.
I, and one of the few times where I'm like, she's been very vocal about that, about how much she had to like fight for that character. And I'm like, yeah, it makes sense, because everything she said she didn't like was everything that everybody else didn't like. And it seems like, yeah, think somebody that's a fan of the character who's like literally embodies that personality quite often in real life, I think she would probably know what the motivations behind the character are, just a little.
Yeah, it seems like Netflix was trying to do some, you know, teenage, like CW meets Harry Potter.
Oh, they
type
wanted to do Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they wanted to make that.
They didn't understand that, you know, what the Addams Family stands for, which is literally, you know, what's the famous line? We feast on those who would subdue us.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the whole point of this family. So that's what needed to be shown. I didn't think the show was bad, though. I just think she makes it. And it's a really fun show for kids. If you know that you are going in to see a show that's not really for us.
And I mean, still have a lot to do with that one as far as season two. I think that one will probably lean more into all the things that you liked.
Right.
You look at these movies and you realize, you know, again, Jacqueline, kind of to your point of like you get tired watching something, you know too much about how it was made. I don't know everything about how these two movies in the 90s were made, right? But you don't get these movies a lot. So that's why I think it's so cherished and beloved 30 years later, is the fact that we got these two movies, as pure in heart and soul and comedy as they are, they're something to be cherished, because you don't get a lot of them. And the fact that a comedy sequel can live up to the first one or even surpass it, very, very rare thing to pull off in Hollywood. And Addams Family Value, I feel like, does it? Jacqueline is close to there.
Close. Just
Brian
not there.
And Dorina really championing this movie. So that's going to do it for our movie talk. But now we're going to transition on over to the mailbag. Getting a lot of great emails from y'all. So you can write us anytime. rtiswrong@rottentomatoes.com. That sounded like there's like business hours for... No, you can actually write us anytime. We'll accept your email 24/7. rtiswrong@rottentomatoes.com. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Chris Quarry is writing us today, our Ketchup crew member, and he says, for my money, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls is the funniest movie ever made. I often revisit the film and laugh my ass off every damn time. Hi-ho, Silver, away! Comedy gold. I stumbled upon the Rotten Tomatoes page for the movie and was pretty surprised to see it was 21%. Well, not that surprised. Critics were pretty brutal to Jim Carrey in the 90s. The movie has a much higher audience score at 72%, but I'd be curious to hear if I'm alone in thinking that it's still a tremendously funny movie. Thanks, Chris. Well, you're talking about comedy sequels and how hard it is to make a better comedy than the original. Chris, I appreciate it. I felt Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls missed the mark when I saw it in theaters, when I was like at the peak of my Jim Carrey, well, probably still talking like the guy from the first one, I couldn't get it out of my head. I know there's funny moments in When Nature Calls, but to me, I already felt like Jim Carrey's just doing an impression of Ace Ventura and wasn't playing Ace Ventura. But I know a lot of people like Chris who think When Nature Calls is the better of the two. What say we, ladies?
I can't remember. I know we've done the first one. I think
we did the first one.
We did the first Pet Detective.
Friend of the show, Steve Byrne. We have not done the second one.
We've not done the second one.
21%.
I don't remember enough about this one. I just remember it being sillier.
It's more ridiculous. It's definitely better than 21% on the tomato.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you a When Nature Calls, Stan?
It's all right. Okay. I definitely love the first one so much. I love Jim Carrey so much. I loved him in the 90s. He was a crush of mine. When Nature Calls is fine.
It's fine.
You're like, it's fine.
But it's weird because like Addams Family Values, it's almost like, again, you're just continuing the movie from the first one.
Yeah.
Whereas you watch the power of that first Ace Ventura and how great Jim Carrey is. It's almost like anybody else, you can't do that again.
Yeah.
That's lightning in a bottle. Right. And even if it's the same guy playing the same character, just a little different.
Well, it's fine because it's him. Because he, again, similar to what we were saying earlier about Jenna Ortega and Wednesday, he carries the movie, right? He's so great that I'll watch him do anything.
Right.
Mm. But you can, you know, you can't save a bad story or bad screenplay, right?
Fair.
Like, you can't really, no matter how great of an actor you are or how funny.
Watching him crawl out of the butt of a hippo is still pretty.
Still pretty great.
But, you know, like, we're very glad that
that's what I remember, The White Devil.
Yeah, White Devil,
that's
El Guapo.
What I remember, yeah. White Devil. I do remember that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, that's guano. Bat dung is guano. Dorina, it's always great seeing you, especially this time of year.
Definitely. This is your season, girl.
Jacqueline, I am now passing the baton to your season.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you all have a lovely Thanksgiving. I'm going to be hiding and hibernating for about 2 months until baby Jesus is born, and then I'll come out. Thanks for having me, guys. Always love coming here. And again, we will gladly feast on those who will subdue us.
And y'all did such a great job at World Girls at covering, serious stuff as you need to, but then also just having a good time with the ladies. So World Girls seems to be going strong. Anything else you want to promote, social media, all that good stuff?
Just music I'm working on. I'm scoring some little films there.
Nice.
So, check out. I got my DJ website, DJ Bruja, and you can see all the scores I've been doing this past year. Somebody please hire me to do a horror movie. I would love to compose that. So
nice. Yeah,
we had a good time seeing that John Carpenter a few years back.
How good was that?
At the Palladium.
How good was that? Yeah. That was a great concert.
Were you at Fantastic Desi there?
Yeah, that's right.
So I say she was down in the spooky part of Austin as well.
That's what she does.
We saw some great movies.
Yeah, they had some great stuff there. Did you have any recommendations?
Yes.
It can be Fantastic Fest or just be in general.
Yes. My favorite movie at Fantastic Fest, When Evil Lurks.
You're the second person to recommend this.
Yeah.
I keep hearing about this movie. Yeah. I think it's playing now. It's like in theaters nationwide, right?
I saw it at TIFF and it is great. I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
It's in theaters now. It's going to be on Shudder. Oh, no, it's actually by the time this recording...
It'll be on Shudder by the time it comes out. Yep, that's right.
It is I think it's the best horror movie of the year. I've never seen anything like it. And I was giddy in the theater laughing while everybody else was freaking out, even though I was with a bunch of horror nerds. It's really great. It's a really unique unique take on Possession.
Okay, yeah. I'm in. All right, that is Dorina Arellano. You can check her out across social media platforms and make sure you do your due diligence. Investigate the World Girls, A Bitch Out of Water, their sort of subset podcast. They got a great empire going on over there. I got to hang out with all three of you at the Halloween Horror Nights.
Halloween Horror Nights.
That was a lot of fun, making my debut in those mazes.
Yeah.
You can check that out, too, our On the Street show, our Rotten Tomatoes. It's on social media. You follow us on Instagram, all that good stuff. You can actually watch me going through the mazes and getting the crap scared out of me.
It's absolutely terrifying.
And it's all real, folks. All genuine reaction. So for the whole gang here at Rotten Tomatoes, that's our esteemed producer, Brian Perez, the whole gang that is doing all the tech stuff for us, everybody at RottenTomatoes.com. For Jacqueline, for Dorina, I am Mark Ellis. We will see y'all next time. Happy holidays.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.